Cool. Hey, Jake. Excited to have you here. My first question for you is, you have an art show coming up. Explain to me, you know, what the theme is, what you're going for, what people are going to see.
Part of what I do is, a lot of people don't know I do sculpture work. So a lot of people get to see one side, really the side of my studio being, you know, the way I organize things so that I can make sculpture work. The Sundance Resort has always been somewhere I love. So a few years back when they asked me to be a part of a couple of things they were doing, kind of led to a good relationship. And so I've shown up at the Sundance Gallery every year for the last 3 years now. So this show is essentially just the last year's work. And then I will be there doing demos, which is always hard for me, but because I have to take a lot of stuff up, but it's kind of fun. So I do demos up there from, I think it's 11 to 5. So,
now, seeing as I'm not an artist of that medium or whatever, what is a demo? Explain to us layman what a demo is.
Demo is essentially like a scene behind the curtain. I bring up a desk and a bunch of different things to utilize. I do, you know, bring up my paints and my, you know, the way I age things. And I just sit all day long and make work while people watch me.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And so is it open to the public? Is it like something they pay for? How does it work?
It is open to the public. Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, have picked up quite a few collectors there because either people are in, you know, staying at the cabins and they pop into the gallery, you know, they can see my artwork, they can make rings, stuff like that, through Sundance. Or, you know, it'll be up for the next month, so you can come up Saturday, or for the next month you can go up and see the show at any time from 11 to 5. So
should people interrupt you if they come in and you're working?
Yeah,
or is
totally.
It kind of like, you know, a method where like, no, don't interrupt the artist, he's working?
I mean, normally it's I'm definitely a flow artist, so I kind of go insane and turn off the world and work up there. It's kind of fun. I bring things that I'm just kind of doing finishing touches on, or, you know, I'll do a process to show, you know, how I age something or how I, you know, cold fusion something together. So
cool. I like that term, cold fusion.
Yeah.
So it's Sundance, and is this Saturday, and from what time to when?
This Saturday, come from 11 to 5.
11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Up at the Sundance Resort. And when you get up there, you know, you get the main place where they get the owl bar and the restaurant. Do you go behind there to, like,
yeah,
the lake up there in that little area?
Yeah,
there?
It's kind of behind the lake.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Like that little cabin or the other one? I know Sundance, so I'm asking.
So it's kind of across the street from the lake.
Mm-hmm.
There's the cabin and there's the parking lot and there's the gallery.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it's just open. Anybody can come in and see.
Uh-huh.
You also go by Mr. Popper. Tell me, where does this name come from? What's your real last name? I don't even know, Jake.
So it's Buncher. B-U-N-T-J-E-R. It's very German. The Mr. Popper came about when I first started doing art, which was late in my 20s after I had left the LDS Church. I needed to be able to kind of have a distance from myself to ask some questions that I needed to, and art's obviously a great way to do that. The Popper comes from, you know, when it was 2008, so I went from being a real estate agent, married, in the temple, family. I had done everything right up to that point, quote unquote, right up to that point. And then I lost everything. And it was all because I started being really honest with myself and figuring out, you know, what really it was. Christ. It was looking at the example. On my mission, I loved teaching about Jesus Christ because it was like kindness and like love and patience. And then the older I got and I saw how the church was being translated as an adult, I just was like, I can't be a part of this. So I lost everything. So that's where the Popper comes from. You know,
because you were a pauper, you'd lost everything.
I'd lost everything. But out of loss is where I gained myself. And I use Mr., M-I-S-T-E-R, as a very juxtapose idea of the fact that, like, you know, I make new life out of things that are forgotten. You know, I take things that objects are no longer used for their initial purpose, and I try to bring them back into life. And my goal is not to have you see what it was before, but to see what it could have been or what it is somewhere in between, you know, this dimension. You know, I use a lot of whimsy in my work, you know, try to capture that. So, yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, because a lot of people don't know, they haven't been out to Boxcar X. I think it's one of the hidden gems of Salt Lake City. Like, I tell everybody, it's almost like a gauge of whether they're cool or dialed in my opinion, right? Have you been to Boxcar X? So, first of all, you moved it. It started in Provo. You moved up here to Salt Lake City. If I were to explain to somebody that's never heard of it before, what do we say that it is? What do you say that it is?
I think it's, you know, the overall idea of Boxcar is to, you know, we often find ourselves only socializing or only finding people that agree with us. And we do that because we're pack animals. I mean, we're essentially, we do it for safety. But I believe that, like, with Boxcar, I've always asked everybody to leave their flag at the door, who they think they are at the door. And I don't need them to change overnight, but, like, come and just be a part of the night. And so I think it's, you know, that's why I use the beehive. You know, it's really important for me that people experience things in the moment. Now, that's the overall essence of it. That's why I go to such extreme lengths to make sure that I create for myself and for others a world that feels like it couldn't exist. I think that's the number one thing. People walk in and they don't quite know where to put it, right? It's not an antique store. It's not a, you know, they're like, it feels like everybody belongs. It feels like grandma's living room, but it also feels and makes you feel, because it just goes on, and it's very, you know, I'm very careful to light it the way I want, and because I think that's an important thing, taking people out of what they think exists and giving them a chance to see what, you know, if they can believe, if they're experiencing something they didn't think could even happen, then I can, you know, make a difference. And that's where Boxcar comes into, you know, getting people who don't always belong together in the same room.
So. Where does the name Boxcar come from, and what's the X mean?
So, Boxcar, the Boxcar Kids, you know, essentially, you know, that story is stuck with me. You know, that first story where the kids find a boxcar, and it's devastating. The world is devastating. It still is devastating. There's lots to be afraid of. But like those kids, they found an empty boxcar, and they made a kitchen, and then they made a living room, and then they had Christmas. You know, it was like this thing where I believe that's possible. I believe that, you know, we'll never not... utopia is not real, but we can always make better with what we have. And that's where Boxcar came. The X... years ago, I needed a symbol that represented the crossing of myself. I've been two people in my life so far, two distinct people. I was LDS and a good dad, and I had to be, and I wanted to prove to myself that I could be an artist and a good dad, mm-hmm. single dad and a good dad. And so the X is just, it represents the love for my kids, and it's that crossing of those things, and I've used it as a symbol for, it's on almost all my artwork, and it represents the love that I'm putting into becoming the best person I can be so that I can love them the way they need to be loved. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Yeah. Then the other question, I've explained you to people in Boxcar X as you being a community builder, because it's not just about your art. You brought in other artists and you're building something there of community. Tell me about, you know, what your vision is, where you're like including other people in this. You already said leave the flags at the door, but tell me how you're bringing other artists into this.
I mean, that was a key part of it. You know, there was a moment where I was like, I'm going to move to San Francisco, because if I do, I'll find the people I want to be with. I'll move to New York, because if I do, I'll find the people. But I wasn't willing to give up being a dad. And so I was like, I'm going to create a world that I want to live in. And surrounding myself with artists was important. But I quickly learned that, like, that wasn't enough for me. I needed people who were creators and doers. And so the Boxcar is not filled with just artists. It's filled with people who are taking chances and doing something about it. We all dream, and that's okay if you're in your dreaming phase. And you may never do anything with your dream, and that's no criticism. But I am drawn to those who are doing something about it. And I want to create a space that I can leverage my investment in them. So I want to keep spaces cheap. And then as the venue and as everything grows, I keep the spaces cheap, because that's my investment that I'm showing that I want to be a part of their growth. But then what's cool is that as I bring in a whole bunch of different ways for them to be seen or collaborate, you know, there's an energy there that it's godlike, and I have nothing to do with it but to create a space that it can exist, because it just happens and it's beautiful, and it's really important to the future of Boxcar as well.
Okay, I'm gonna kind of end this with a little bit of a silly question, right?
I'm all right.
But
that.
What's up with this, like, in the club, you know, like late 2000s rap that I hear you putting on, you know, when it's your turn to, like, just play your music? Like, how does that resonate with you? I want to understand, Jake.
Dancing is one of the purest forms of play. And there's something about that era of music that, in my opinion, stemmed. I mean, I can remember sitting in my living room and hearing on the news that rap was all gang members. Like, I remember, like, not wearing red to school.
Yeah.
And I live in Sandy, Utah. Yeah. I was in no danger, but it was this...
You weren't going to be a blood, were you?
No, you know, hip-hop was dangerous when I was a child. And then suddenly it blossomed, and I think there is a way that music hits in a way that I can get people dancing on the dance floor, and that's...
So what are six of these songs that you're going to hear maybe when Jake takes the control of the DJ?
Outkast.
Okay.
I mean, you know,
which song by Outkast are you going to hear?
You could go Sorry Miss Jackson, you could go, I mean, there's pretty much the whole album.
I know I heard In the Club.
Yep, In the Club. Oh yeah, well, that one's just a banger, and then you change it halfway through. J. Cole Tribe. That's a really great song. You know what, I always play a little No Doubt. I know that's not hip hop, but like there's something about the vulnerability
of...
Which
No Doubt song are you playing?
Don't say... Yeah.
Don't stop.
Don't stop. You know, the one where the drummer, like, they're in love.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're not in love, and they have to play with each other, and they fucking hate each other. And you're just like, that's the best Gwen Stefani.
Oh, well, man, I'm so excited you're in the Valley. I'm glad. We love what you're doing. We love to support it. We don't have a ton of followers, but we're going to try to get them out. And we're going to come up on Sunday, probably earlier.
Good.
Saturday.
Good.
All right?
Yeah, come up Saturday.
All right.
Well, I'll bar afterwards.
Well, we'll see. Thanks, Jake.
Yep.